In order to support our show, we need the help of some great advertisers. And we want to make sure those advertisers are ones you'll actually want to hear about. We need to learn a little bit more about you to make that possible. Go to podsurvey.com/firstdegree and take a quick anonymous survey that will help us get to know you better. That way we can bring on advertisers that you won't want to skip. And once you've completed the quick survey, you can enter for a chance to win a $100 Amazon gift card. Terms and conditions apply. Again, that's podsurvey.com/firstdegree. podsurvey.com/firstdegree. Thanks for your help. Welcome to Killing Time, hosted by two girls and one ginger. Now, I want to set the scene. Jared is, we're not together. Jared's in Phoenix right now. He is writing a new record, and you're in your recording studio right now, and it's got this like nice pink hue. Like you've got some like nice vibes going on over there.
So Garrett, our bass player, has the controls for these lights. And so what I do is we're writing and like recording stuff throughout the day. And then we record the podcast stuff usually after I'm done. And he's been leaving without having these lights on. So I was like, hey, dude, can you give me like a nice warm tone? Vibe. He gave me like a neon pink, but I'm cool with it. We got
a
vibe.
The pink highlights your skin very well.
You think so?
It brings out the nice hue of your undertones.
The redness that you
try
have.
To avoid the pinks, especially
the
with a shirt.
Natural rosy glow.
It I'm really just, does.
I'm like you, camo right now. I'm fully camouflaged.
Yeah, you're like a chameleon. You're blending into the background. It's almost like a green screen for you.
It really is. I'm like, you could just fade. If I didn't see those little eyeballs in your face, you would kind of just fade into the background.
Little eyeballs? There's
yeah.
Little eyeballs.
It is November 17th. You guys, we are 1 week away from Thanksgiving. We're getting ready to go off the grid. Well, we won't be off the grid. You will have new episodes every week, three times a week, because
we've never
that's
taken
who
a
we
week
are.
Off.
And we're masochists while everybody else is like,
this.
We'll take a vacation for all of December. We're like, I guess we're just pushing on through.
No, we can't like create outrage.
No.
No, no, no. We got
no,
a good
we
thing
create
going.
Outrage without doing anything.
And who
you know?
Are we kidding? I'm addicted to working. Like if we didn't put an episode out 1 week, I'd fall into a depression.
I am not addicted to working, but I need to work with somebody who is addicted to working to keep me on my toes, you know?
Yeah, but I don't glamorize it. Like I fully embrace and admit that like the grind is really hard on me. It yeah. is like not like a easy, women can't have it all because no. I don't do it all, but I work really hard, but it's not fun all the time. But if no. I didn't do it, who would I be?
That's right. No, like, this is you at your very core. I love
that's
it.
That's right.
But we are, you know, it's festive season. It feels great. I love when we have like, we get into the festive season for the podcast because I feel like we get into these very like specific types of conversations that are really fun and topical and I'm really excited for it. Before we get into the episode, house cleaning other than join our Patreon?
Yes, I've got some housekeeping for you.
I always say house cleaning.
It's the same thing. People understand.
It works. They know what
just
you mean.
Just here at the top of the episode, I'm going to give you, and hopefully, I don't know if the numbers have been making it in the show notes. I'm putting the phone numbers in our scripts so that when the show description gets done, we can throw them in there. But
yeah,
firsty worsties, we love you, and we want to hear from you. So call us, 323-539-3516. And also, call us and give us any of your holiday thoughts.
Oh,
what are you thankful for in true crime news? I mean, we usually put together some sort of Thanksgiving killing time, some sort of Thanksgiving episode.
Yeah.
Give us your Thanksgiving on the stands. You know, give us your Thanksgiving worstie stories, your worst holiday stories. I want those. So if you're a worstie holiday firstie, 323-539-3516 on the stand, Christmas, New Year, Thanksgiving themed, 818-446-6889. I would love, even if you've called with your worsties before, if you did something bad, like drop a turkey on the floor and still served it to grandma, I want to hear from you.
I actually really love this idea. Please send in just like your bad Thanksgiving stories. Like it doesn't have to be something that you did. It would be really fun to kind of air some of those because I'm sure I mean, everybody has a horrible story, so please tell us yours.
Well, the holidays are traumatic for people. As much fun as they are, they also trigger like a lot of trauma for people, like who have messed up families and weird seasonal depression, which is all me, frankly. But it's still a wonderful, joyous time. Either way, call in. We want to play some of these more thematic ones in the coming weeks.
I love that so much.
Love the theme.
Okay, should we get into the day today?
Yes, please.
Okay, so today is November 17th, 2020. And in November 17th, 1968. Now, this is like, this is a weird, dark day. But
Jack,
it's some, what?
You just said that it's 2020. It's 2022. I don't know if
I fucked it up twice.
It's almost 2023, which is even weirder. Yeah,
that seems like it's so far in the future. Well, it is 2022. You
know. Okay.
You guys, my brain's not working today. It never is. This dark day, it wasn't exactly, well, it was a dark day for some, but I just found the whole concept of it very interesting. So we're going to get into it. On November 17th of 1968, TV viewers become outraged as football game is cut off to air the movie Heidi. So on November 17th, the Oakland Raiders were score two touchdowns in 9 seconds to beat the New York Jets. And nobody sees it because they're watching the movie Heidi instead.
Oh, no.
With just 65 seconds left to play, NBC switches off the game in favor of its previously scheduled programming, which is a made-for-TV version of the children's story about a young girl and her grandfather in the Alps. So,
oh, no.
This, I think, is so, so wild. Can I kind of get into the nitty-gritty of it?
Because please
it's really
do.
It's really funny.
I just can imagine, though, the outrage of, like, sports fans and the testosterone, like, raging.
Yeah.
Rooms of men throwing things at the TV. I see it.
And back in the, I mean, it's 1968. There is obviously no internet. There's like
four
you can't
channels.
Watch it later. I'm sure that if they just didn't air it, it probably didn't exist. Like, there was no way.
They had to wait till the newspaper the next day to find out who won.
Yes.
I wonder if people were as, like, rabid about sports back then as they are now. Like, we had the Cardinals were in the Super Bowl like years and years ago. And one of my buddies, I mean, we were all drinking a bunch, but he was such a fan of our sports team in Phoenix that when we lost, he was crying and he threw his hat at the TV and split the TV down the middle with the bill of his hat. It was like the screen of the TV.
A soft baseball cap split the TV because he threw it with such fervor.
I will not name this man, but it was crazy.
Oh my God.
I can only imagine the pain, like people, like,
yeah,
and an ending that, like, I mean, that's a legendary ending.
It was legendary. I truly don't understand sports fanatics. Like,
I don't understand any fanatic.
I don't either. I mean, Jared and I talk about it all the time. We're like, I wish that I loved something that much, but I really don't. Like, all of my interests are pretty mild. Like, I do love a lot of things, but not to the point where it would emotionally affect me at all. Like, Curb Your Enthusiasm could be, which is my favorite TV show, could be canceled forever. And I would just be like, ugh, damn it.
Yeah.
And then that's about it. So it's like the fanatics, it's like, you don't even know these people, which is crazy. If it was maybe my son that was on the team, I would have a different opinion of it. But I'm like, these are strangers. And they also switch teams all the time. So it's very weird to me.
That's what I always thought about sports. I was like, if they were strict where everyone on the team had to be from the state, I'd think that was really cool.
Yeah. Because
then it would mean like whoever's training program is the best. Like, that's something. It's like the Olympics.
Yep. And it could be you could have connections to these people because you're somebody's next door neighbor or somebody dated somebody. So you have like some sort of a
connection.
6 degrees of Kevin Bacon.
Or
to
just
the whole
thing. A pride.
Yeah.
You know, like a pride in your state or whatever. But no, I don't get it either. But no one in our group of friends is fanatical. Like, we don't have anyone who's really into sports, even the guys. Like,
yeah.
I mean, I guess some, whatever. The point is, we don't understand it.
I'm going to make a controversial opinion because I feel like the equivalent of this to the gals is being a Swiftie. And that is also something that I do not understand, especially recently with all of the chaos of people trying to order the goddamn Taylor Swift tickets was so insane. And to see people literally crushed, like their grandma died because they didn't get tickets. I'm like, I wish I could relate. I just don't.
I was disappointed when I couldn't get Lil Nas X tickets, but I didn't think about it longer than 30 seconds.
No.
I was like, oh man, that would have been fun. And then it was like, ooh, a shiny thing over here.
Exactly. Okay. So I want to go into what happened on this day in 1968.
Tell us more.
So Oakland ends up winning 43-32. Obviously, nobody outside the Oakland Coliseum sees any of this because they went right into commercial break after the Jets kickoff and they never came back. So they ended up airing this movie at 7 p.m. Heidi, I don't know what it is, whatever. And this is what the NBC programmer Dick Klein said. He goes, I waited and waited and I heard nothing. We came up to that magic hour and I thought, well, I haven't been given any counter order, so I've got to do what we agreed to do. So apparently the NBC executives had actually changed their mind and they were going to air the game, but they were trying to get in touch with this guy to tell him to leave the game on until it was over. But all the telephone lines were busy because thousands of people were calling into the network to say that they need to air Heidi. Like, you got to keep airing it. And then even more people were calling into the network being like, leave the fucking game on. You need to leave the game on. So all of the lines were busy to the network. So this guy couldn't get the call from the exec. And then these people start calling the police because they're like, well, if we got to call 911 to make sure that this game can air, or we got to call 911 to make sure that Heidi still airs. So it was an absolute clusterfuck.
Are there Heidi fanatics? Like, who's calling demanding
allegedly
for Heidi to play when it's been scheduled? Like, do not change even by 10 minutes the beginning of the start of Heidi. Like, who is a Heidi fanatic? That's wild.
I have never even heard of it.
Can't we just push back a little bit?
Like, you've heard of Heidi. You probably saw it in a class and didn't even realize it. It's like a girl with braids. I think she gets separated from her grandpa in the Alps or something.
It seems Germany. Very, like, you could watch it at any time.
It's kind of like The Sound of Music.
Yeah, pass. So, well, what, Jared?
Games do run, I mean, even now, games will, run long, and they'll go over people's, like, scheduled programs that they're excited about watching, but
yeah, I know, it always
usually,
goes
I believe,
into The Bachelor.
Precedent. Oh, it's The Bachelor, huh?
It always goes into The Bachelor. Uh-oh. So
personal foul.
So, shortly after this whole debacle with Heidi, the NFL inserted a clause into its TV contracts that guaranteed that all games would be broadcast completely in their home markets. And for its part, NBC installed a new phone called the Heidi phone in the control room that had its own exchange and switchboard. So it assured its viewers that nothing like this would ever happen again. So it was
the
great Heidi debacle.
Wow. Oh my gosh.
I thought that was such a fascinating story.
I love that.
It's so revealing about human nature. It's like the women are probably like, you better air Heidi. The men had their time and the game is over.
Yep. And I guess they won for that one, but not anymore.
Not again.
The football
Sorry,
game
Heidi.
Goes over everything else. So that kind of inspired me to kind of look up some other TV flubs that have happened over the years, and more so in, you know, our generation in the past 20 years, like big fuck ups over the year. So we're going to get into that for True Crime Rewind. But until then, we have got some bitching to do.
Please rise. Court is now in session.
All rise.
Call the first witness.
How do you plead? Guilty or not guilty?
Okay, welcome to On the Stand. Every week we bring a person, place, thing, or an idea to the stand. We're either prosecuting it or defending it. Things that we're either raving about or we just can't stand. We have a healthy discussion. Bring it to Instagram. You guys vote. And will we be having a user submitted on the stand today? Do we have one?
If we want.
If we feel like it.
Yes.
We're running,
do you guys want to?
Yeah, we can.
We're running a little long.
We're running a little long, but who knows?
Okay.
I don't have that much for True Crime Rewind, so maybe we'll throw it in there.
Okay. I love hearing from the people. Let's
we love hearing from the people.
Will somebody else go first while I pull one?
Okay, I'll go first. I am putting on the stand, putting calories on menus when you go out to eat. Mm. I am prosecuting the fuck out of this. I really fucking hate it. And I think all it does is instill this sense of guilt and this sense of anxiety into especially women going out to eat at restaurants. There is no reason why it should be done. It has no nutritional value in it at all. And I just think it's like the wrong place and time to do it. And when we were out at North, Jared, with your parents recently, which is like a nice Italian restaurant, somewhere that you shouldn't be putting calories on the menu. They put calories on the menu. And I was like, what are we doing here?
I think they mandate it sometimes.
I think it's by state, right? Don't certain states require
that you... I think it's even by county.
Okay.
And like, so sometimes, because Cheesecake Factory has, and this is my favorite restaurant, so I know. Cheesecake Factory has all of
they
the
do calories.
Yeah, and it is unpleasant. And I'm like, the one thing I'm curious about is the bread, which I'll eat like a whole basket of.
Yeah.
But that's not on the menu, so I don't know how many calories that is. But
like, it's so an... Ugh.
Yeah, I don't think... Listen, I do think, hey, we're going out to eat. It's usually like for fun or date night or a special occasion. And I think people do know that food out has more calories. That's why you shouldn't be eating out every single meal, every single day.
Uh-oh. Well,
and I think that people...
Uh-oh,
it's like, if you're Jared. Looking for a healthier choice, I think that you could, you probably know what those healthier choices probably are. And I just think it's just, I don't know. It just goes with the fucked up diet culture of our country. And it just, I don't see a positive to it. You know, like, I feel like everybody kind of knows what they're looking at when it comes to the menu. And I just think it's fucked up and it goes backwards. I feel like that should have been something that they did like in the early 2000s. And then we realized it was fucked up. And then we're like, never mind. Let's not do that anymore.
It's done a great job of swaying me away from salads at chain restaurants. Cause I see the calorie count. I'm like, I'll just get the burger. It's like the same
amount. Exactly. You know?
Cause it's like, I don't want a salad without dressing.
So, well, and if you're going to go the extra step for the American people, right?
Quotes.
You don't want us to be fat, right?
Air
you don't want obesity quotes. Why don't you fucking ban processed food from the corporations?
I know.
Like, you know what I mean? Like, it's the processed food. It's not even really calories. It's the chemicals and shit that are being put in our bodies. Like, sugar is a natural part of people's diets and fruit or whatever, but like, it's processed food. But you won't burden the corporations and the billion-dollar entities. You'll just make us all miserable when we go out to eat. Thanks.
It kind of just reminds me of the whole paper straw debate, right? Where it's like, it's putting the blame on the individual where the problem is the powers that be.
Yes.
You know,
right,
it's like,
right,
you're going to make me feel like an asshole for ordering this burger because I'm looking at the calories and you're making me feel guilty. When in reality, it's all the antibiotics and all the GMOs and all the shit that you're pumping into our food that is creating the problem.
Yeah, like, exactly.
I think
guilty. I am with
so
you.
It's so fucking guilty.
Guilty.
Like, listen,
I
know a cheeseburger isn't diet food. So when I order it, I know what I'm doing.
But
I don't
want to
do
it.
Math, though.
Okay, no. So like, I don't really diet. I just go through periods where I'm like, ooh, I should watch it a little bit. It's like, I think most people know, like, if you're eating a giant, like, plate of pasta, you know that what that does versus, like, you know, a salad or eating a bowl of vegetables. Like, people for the most part know...
We're not fucking idiots.
Enough to, like, you know, make their decisions without having to stare down some, like, ominous number on a menu, you know?
So, exactly.
Guilty.
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 Who's next?
Jared, you go next.
Uh-oh. I didn't really prepare one, but here we go. What about peeing in the shower?
Oh.
Okay.
Okay.
I'm here to slightly defend it. Sometimes I'm in a rush and I'm like trying to get ready to leave the house. I know that
I think everybody does it.
Okay, yeah. Cool.
Jared, don't act like you don't do it. We all do.
Okay. Well, I don't know. I think this is going to, I think you're going to be a little bit shocked. I think that there's a good amount of people.
No, people are going to pretend they don't do it.
Exactly. Mm.
People would be like, that is disgusting, but they're self-loathing because they know they do it too.
I like don't even think about it. I'd pee in the shower all the time. And okay. It doesn't even come across my mind. Like, oh, I'm going to pee in the shower now. It's just like part of the whole thing.
Mm.
Yeah,
I think we're going to be surprised by the reaction to this.
No, by fake reactions from people who pretend to be disgusted by it, who actually do it also.
All right, so
as a man, do you
people
have to
say they don't pee in the pool? That's a lie.
Yes, yes. As a man,
you definitely pee in the pool.
Do you have to? This is a really stupid question. Do you have to hold your penis to pee, or can you just pee?
Absolutely not.
Okay.
Absolutely not.
Because like that would be a funny thing that you like had to like get into the stance. Like that requires an extra step.
No, no. I mean, if you're aiming, then yes, absolutely. But you can kind of just like lean in a
nudge
direction.
It
you
in whatever kind of, direction.
You can
fling
kind
it
of
over
like,
one way.
Yeah, you can kind of like maneuver yourself, and you don't have to touch anything. It usually will go straight.
Okay.
Yeah. So I'm here to defend it. I say not guilty.
Oh yeah, not guilty. We all do it. You liars.
I'm really doing this so I can see what people say.
Not guilty. Okay. So Jack and I went to the movies last night.
Yes.
And we got a little ticket to get a free popcorn, and we both got a free popcorn. So I have a two part on the stand. First one is popcorn. Like, me and Jack were both there. We had like probably a couple pieces of popcorn and we were both like, we don't want this. This sucks. This is not a good snack.
No.
It was in our teeth immediately. It was, we did not like it. I put it down and then I was really hungry. So I ate some more a little bit later in the movie, but it wasn't like I wanted it. I wanted something else. I tried to make Jack get chicken tendies with me, but she said no. So anyways, popcorn is my part one of On the Stand, but my part two on the stand is when we got the popcorn, it was like he put butter on it on the top. But like, I don't just want butter on the top. I want any condiment evenly distributed. You know, like, you know how you toss a buffalo wing in sauce, like, but it's, so it's fully coated. You don't just sprinkle it on the top. So even distribution of condiment and popcorn, two part on the stand. Let's go.
I wonder if there are any movie theaters out there that have the solution to this, that like have a self tumbler popcorn.
You know, like those things
dispenser
that they would turn like lottery numbers.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
You know, like,
yeah,
I don't know.
I think maybe we don't talk about this and then develop the patent because.
Yeah, we need the popcorn like tosser.
I've got to assume this exists.
It has Everything to. Exists. We're probably being days. So dumb right now, but this is a thing.
Like, you idiots.
I don't really go to movies, so I wouldn't know. I'm sure they're all over the place. I am going to say popcorn is guilty.
Like, I want pirate's booty instead.
Yes.
You know, I want like a better snack. I want like a bucket of chicken tendies.
Or like the chips and salsa, or like if you're gonna go that route, or like a nice salt and vinegar kettle chip. I just think popcorn.
Pita and hummus.
Yes. I think popcorn, not a fucking nachos, no. Or like a pretzel with cheese. Popcorn, I think, is the least appetizing snack of that genre.
It's like dry, really, it doesn't appeal easily.
To me. Damn, people are gonna be
outraged.
Split,
people
love popcorn. Split again. I don't like it either.
Stuck in the teeth stuff is the worst.
Dude, the kernel in the back of your throat. Have you ever had that where start like hacking? Oh, so yeah. Especially when you're in a movie theater and you have like that like itchy cough and you can't get rid of it and then everyone hates you and you leave and you're standing in the bathroom doing it like a crazy person.
Yeah.
I mean, okay. Popcorn itself, I just don't think that it's not a fulfilling snack to me. It's just like it's there. And so you're just going to make it to the bottom of the bag because you're just at a movie and you want to be like, you know, you're just like mindlessly eating it. But I don't think it really is something that I would ever think to do. Even if we're watching a movie at home, which we never do, I just wouldn't grab the popcorn. I just don't think it's, I don't think it's
like senses aroused when someone hands you a corn husk. Like a corn on the cob is not like, ooh, snack. Ooh, what am I, like a horse?
My senses are aroused when somebody hands me a corn dog.
Yes.
That is where it's at.
Corn bread. Give me a loaf of corn bread when I walk into the movies. We'll talk.
I know. We've got to revamp this.
Okay.
There's so many better things you can do with corn.
So we're going to say popcorn's guilty, and so is the lack of even distribution of condiments.
Yeah, super guilty. Agreed.
Now, do we want to hear from on the stand? Do we want
Let's do it.
Yeah? Okay. Here we go.
Hi, Jack and Alexis and Jared. I love Bonus Killing Time. It's like my favorite podcast. I listen to it to and from work every day. I have had this in my head, and I'm so glad you guys are airing them now. I'd love to hear your opinions on this. What I'm putting on the stand is parents making social media accounts for their children. And I don't know if anyone has talked about that yet, but I just find it so strange and like, so it's like they're living vicariously, but like putting their children on display and like just with all of the gross people out there in the world, I just really couldn't see myself wanting to do that with my kid. Yeah. Especially like on TikTok, like these TikToks are accessible by literally anybody. And you'll see, you can even just go on, you can watch a TikTok account with family with their cute kids and just go look at the comments. And I'm sure there's like some creeper talking about your like 7-year-old, like, just like gives me the creeps. And I understand parents can do what they want with their kids, but I mean, it just almost seems like there's going to be a bunch of lawsuits in about 15 years when all these kids are grown adults and they see that their whole entire childhoods were exploited on social media by their parents. And I would be suing my parents, but that's just me. All right. Love you guys.
I think this is a really interesting take. You guys go first on what you think.
I mean, I completely agree with her. I know exactly what she's talking about with some of these TikToks and with some of these specific accounts of parents like absolutely exploiting their children for views, for money, for the fame, for the living vicariously. Like, I've seen that a lot over TikTok and Instagram sometimes. And it is like, I agree. It's these kids can't really consent, you know, to agree to wanting to do these things. And you see some of, there's been a few videos that people have accidentally posted. There's this one blogger, I forget what her name is, but she was like forcing her kid to cry because she wanted him to be upset over something. She's like, more tears, more tears, more tears. You got to look more upset. And it's like, dude, you're traumatizing these poor fucking children. Like, they didn't ask to be a part of this. Like, they didn't ask to be a part of your fucking show and tell so you can get all the views on TikTok. So I absolutely agree with her. If you happen to have a kid that ends up like going viral, like the corn kid or something, and he wants to like kind of be this
corn kid,
the corn kid, there's a way, I think, to do it tastefully and
with their safety and future in mind.
Yeah, exactly. And where it's not like you're blogging every day of your life and you're forcing your kids to do this like 24/7, that it becomes this like huge traumatic part of their life, basically. Well,
we're in this kind of, I'm talking about the three of us specifically, but we're in this age group that got to experience life both before and after the internet in very influential times in our life too. So I think that we kind of have that perspective of before and after, whereas kids these days, I mean, this is what it is. Like, I have friends that have kids now, and their kids love to set up a camera. Now, they don't post the stuff on the internet, but their kids love to set up a camera and pretend like they're doing like a YouTube channel. That's like fun for them. That's what they're seeing. It's what they're emulating. So that's kind of the state of the internet right now and what is like appealing. You've got people playing video games on Twitch and like streaming it, and these kids are watching this thing, and it's what they're consuming is what they're emulating. And all that said, I still think it's a fucking terrible idea to be putting your child on the internet, especially forcing that kind of stuff. There's a line that I feel like gets crossed when your face is on the internet. It's so easy to find somebody. It's so easy to stalk somebody. Like, it's pretty dangerous, and you have to be pretty aware of the world that you're stepping into and subjecting your child to. I think that's, I don't know, that it scares me a little bit, actually. A lot, you know?
Yeah, I mean, I would never disparage anybody for making their kid an Instagram or whatever. Parenting decisions within parenting is they're very personal, you know, and whatever your prerogative is. Me personally, the cruelty of the internet is only mounting, and I want to like protect my hypothetical children from that for as long as possible. And I've like experienced just bullying on the internet firsthand, and it's like, I will probably get pregnant and have a kid and no one will know.
Yeah.
Like, I swear, I'm super private like that. I don't think anyone should have more information about you than they need. And, you know, that would be my personal choice. But again, as long as you're not abusing your children, you know, and their happiness is front and center, like, it's all you, do what you need to do. But yeah, I mean, I think we all agree here, and I would say guilty from my perspective, but I'm not, again, not dragging anybody who's posting their kid on the internet. That's a personal parenting choice.
For sure. And it, like I said, it is a huge sliding scale. This is definitely not a black and white situation that it's like anybody that posts their kid on the internet is a horrible person. Like, it definitely, there's so much nuance to it. And it's so easy to, you know, make these different decisions. But I think that there is a safe and healthy way to do it. Because like, when we have a kid, there's no way I'm not going to ever post about my kid, right, or whatever. Like, it is part of my life. Like, sharing things about my life is a huge part of who I am. But I absolutely, especially from seeing a lot of this like firsthand on the internet, it's like, it would be in the front of my mind at every single second of how to do that safely.
I wouldn't want my kid to have their own personality on the internet and be their own entity. Like, as part of what we're doing or all of that, like, whatever, that is what it is. But it just, something about putting kids out just on their own on the internet scares the shit out of me. Because I know what the internet is, and it.
And it's not even the bullying. There is the dark web exists, and there are some really bad people on the internet that are looking to find exploitive material. You know what I mean? Like, let's not pretend that doesn't exist.
Totally.
Well, guilty.
Guilty.
Guilty. Oh, man. All right. Well, when we come back, it is time for some True Crime Rewind.
Hey, there's no reason to feel sad or guilty about the things you aren't using anymore. Whether it was a fancy dress you wore to a gala, expensive heels that only go with one of your outfits, or that crossbody bag from when you were in your music festival era. Somebody out there wants what you don't, and the real world makes it easy to get it to them. When your past becomes their future, everyone wins, especially the planet. For the real real, Earth Month isn't just another month. It's what they do every day. At any given moment, they're finding new homes for over 1 million unique items within their community of 35 plus million people. They're the largest luxury reseller in the world and making a tangible difference towards a more sustainable future for fashion. Resale reduces the amount of fashion waste in landfills, lowers greenhouse gas emissions, and offers an alternative to the cycle of consumption propagated by fast fashion. The RealReal has kept over 37 million items in circulation and out of landfills. This month only, new shoppers get 20% off when they shop on therealreal.com using code FIRST. That's therealreal.com using the code FIRST.
True crime.
Yeah, it's rewind time.
Okay, so I'll make this quicker because, you know, we're already running behind. But today I'm going to talk about some of the biggest flubs of our recent history on live television. So we're going to start off with
Will Smith hitting Chris Rock. That was the most shocking TV moment I've seen live, maybe in my lifetime.
Yeah, that was,
I was like, is this real when it was happening? That was shocking.
I mean, can't believe that happened this year. I think that was in January, which is insane because it feels like it was yesterday, but also like 15 years ago.
It was one of the most shocking things I've ever seen because I see Will Smith and I see Fresh Prince. And I was like, I didn't know that man had it in him. I really didn't.
Yeah, I missed the live airing of that. But I remember we got off stage. I forget where we were, but I'm like walking back to the bus and someone's like, Will Smith hit Chris Rock. And I was like, what?
Poor Chris Rock. He handled it like a fucking true professional.
Yeah.
Like he handled it like a champ. And I would have probably turned red and gotten to the fetal position. He handled it like a fucking champ. But go ahead, Jack. Sorry, I interrupted.
No, that was crazy. I didn't have that on my list. I was going to talk about Nipplegate, which was Janet Jackson and Justin Timberlake at the Super Bowl, where there was the quote unquote wardrobe malfunction.
Oh, yeah.
He ripped off her shirt. Her boob popped out. And then I think the ironic thing of this whole thing is everybody was blaming Janet Jackson for the whole thing.
Yeah,
of course. Blame the woman.
Well, it hurt her career. And Justin, you know, got off scot-free. And he's apologized a lot of times because this is obviously it was a PR stunt. But it wasn't Janet alone.
Yeah.
God forbid we see a nipple.
God forbid. It's so stupid, dude. It's so stupid.
There should just be one channel. Oh, there is a channel. Never mind.
What?
There should be a channel that just has nipples on it all day.
That's HBO.
I know.
YouPorn.com.
Let's just expose the people and get them less freaked out about nipples. It's crazy.
Okay. So the next one that I'm going to do is, do you guys remember when John Travolta mispronounced Idina Menzel's name?
Yes.
No.
Yes. He said Adele Dazeem.
It's so funny. No. I'm going to play a clip of it right now because I listened to it and I was fucking laughing. So I'm going to play a clip really quick.
There will always be a special place in my heart for the movie musical and for the songs that create their most memorable moments. Here to perform the Oscar-nominated, gorgeously empowering song, Let It Go, from the Oscar-winning animated movie Frozen, please welcome the wickedly talented one and only Adele Dazeem.
Oh my God.
Adele Dazeem.
That is unreal.
Like it's
like I feel like I have
so
a brain
bad.
Freeze that hurts my
poor thing. Poor Travolta. He's really
know.
Been through it, right?
I just love the inflection of the wickedly talented
Adele Mizzou. And it trails off and he doesn't even try to correct himself. He's just
I
like
no.
If you notice when you're listening to it, when he says wicked wickedly talented. At that moment, he realizes that he is, he's like, yeah, he lost it. He knew it. Like, he knew it. He's like, here it comes. I have to say something.
I wonder if he's done, I didn't research into this, like, if he did an interview and ever explained himself, like, if he just had a brain fart or if he just didn't know what her name was and just, like, really went for it and didn't prepare. Like, I don't know what it was, but it was so funny. By the way,
such a power move to get somebody's name wrong. Like, if you really, really want to mess with somebody, just start calling them the wrong name.
Oh, and for sure. Say it with confidence. Like, yes. He kind of did. He was kind of like,
yes.
And I bet you everyone was like, oh, that's your name.
Oh, everybody. We didn't know she sang that.
Oh, here comes Adele.
Sometimes
Dazeem.
Me and Jack, when we're recording like our first degree episodes, we'll have to do a take on the same line like 20 times, and it's a very simple line. And we're like, "What's wrong? Why can't we say this?"
Oh my god, I flub lines all of the time, and it's like the stupidest shit. I'm like, "Why is New York City a tongue twister today?"
Yeah, but we have mental blocks. But
talk,
yes,
well,
oh my god,
like, talk for a living. You know, you're gonna mess it up eventually.
I mess it up, unfortunately, all the time. Sorry to, I mean, I guess you guys don't hear it. Okay, so the next one that we're going to go to is Ashley Simpson's time on Saturday Night Live. The infamous lip syncing and the hoedown dance that she did after. I mean, looking back, it was career ruining for her for a long time, which is so fucked up because everybody lip syncs on SNL. And it was just one of those things that during that time, it's like, as a society, we did not forgive people for fucking up, right? It's like we saw that thing, and that forever is just ingrained in people's minds of, like, you think Ashley Simpson and you think of that moment. And I think that's, like, pretty unfair.
Yeah.
I think it's very absolutely unfair. I think it's so shitty because, well, a lot of people don't realize any act that you've seen, especially recently, they're most likely running some form of faking it. And by faking
like
it,
a
I mean
pre-recorded
like
track or something.
Pre-recorded track. We play to backing tracks. We don't have enough people on stage to cover all of the instruments that we play on our records. So there is some stuff, percussive or keyboard sometimes, that we just run through a track and it plays automatically and we play to it. People go as far as using really hard settings on the auto-tune, like anything to make the show sound better. But for taped performances, especially like you're thinking about like the Thanksgiving parade and stuff like that, anything where the logistics of capturing good audio just don't exist or there's too many variables, they will use a pre-recorded or just completely synthetic track.
Yeah.
And another thing people don't realize is a lot of the control rooms in these stations are, sometimes they're union ran. So you're literally not allowed to touch the board. You can advise, your sound guy can go in there and advise whoever they have running the boards, but sometimes it's hands off. And so there, again, those variables and like having it in a live setting, something like that, it was just such a bummer that was
such
like
a bummer
because that's all people talked
bad for
about
her.
No, I felt for her so much.
We
she tried to have
time.
Like a good attitude about it, and she was just punished, and it was like very unfair.
Yeah, I just feel like if something like that happened today, I feel like people would think it's funny for like a second, and then you'd give people more grace in a sense. I mean, we don't as a society.
No, people are still canceled and all sorts of stuff.
I don't think it would be career ruining like that.
No, not an embarrassing thing.
No,
not embarrassing. Yeah.
Yeah, but like people are really hard on people's every move, but a flub
not in that way.
Like that? Yeah, I think you're right. I think
she could have like gone on TikTok and like made fun of herself, and it would have been like a flash in the pan.
Yeah.
But that was during. I mean, it was the same time with like all of the shit with Britney Spears
Nipplegate.
It was like these little moments that happened just like ruined people's lives. But
and they're women.
Only women's lives.
Yeah.
By the way, women. You rarely hear of like a good or decent performance on any sort of live or talk show or anything. Like, you only see the only ones that people talk about and remember are the ones that don't go well.
Yeah. Even in concerts, me and Jack went to go see MGMT.
Oh my God.
And we loved MGMT's tracks, right? Because they're super,
great
produced.
Fantastic band.
But live, it was very hard.
It was like one of the worst shows I've
ever
seen.
And it's like, it's very hard to do a good live show, which is why the main is so great.
Well, you know,
I do want to just mention, cause you reminded me of it, Jared, when you were talking about the tracks and stuff. I don't know if you guys remember this, but when I was looking up all these flubs, it came up, but it was kind of too hard to explain, but it was when Mariah Carey did that New Year's Eve performance.
Yes, live mic.
she didn't have a sound check or anything. She kind of just, I think, walked up there and started performing. And there
freezing
was like
cold out.
Freezing cold. All of her tracks were fucked up. And she just gets on stage and she basically is just like, dude, fuck this. And kind of just like struts around, is not singing, like sings the wrong part, and is just like, what the fuck ever. And I mean, only Mariah Carey can truly do that. Like a true.
Or do you remember the one where Britney Spears was supposed to perform and she just walked across the stage?
Yeah.
And then, oh yeah.
And then like through the crowd and went, yeah. And she was like, nope, and didn't.
Wasn't that when they were announcing her?
That was part of the, she was like,
she was announcing her residency in Vegas, I think it was. And like, I think that they thought she was going to perform or something. She was just walked by.
Well, I'm pretty sure they were like forcing her to perform. Pushing back against her conservatorship for the first time.
Yes.
Right.
And that's what I heard. Nope. And I'm like, I loved that.
Okay, well, I think that is, I was going to play the Miss Teen USA, Miss South Carolina.
Oh, I love her.
We can do, did you find a clip for the end, Alexis? Or do we want to sign it off with that at the very end
Let's
of the episode?
Let's sign off with that, because the Costanza stanza I have is just a clip and it's weak.
Yeah, we'll end the episode with that. But first, we have to go into the worsty firsties when we get back.
Come one, come all to the court of the worst people in the entire world. So we are just going to jump into it because we're running a little long. So here is our first firsty worsty.
Hi, firsties. I'm hoping this is the right number. It doesn't really say. But I wanted to call in with my worsty firsty. Probably not the worst thing I've ever done, but the first thing that comes to mind. I was in college. I had a boyfriend that I was living with. His parents actually bought us a house. That's how serious it was. Found out that he was cheating on me when I got the fun of going to the doctors and finding out that he gave me chlamydia. Yay, asshole. So, obviously broke up with his dumbass. I was still looking for a place to live, so I was still living at the house. And one night I decided, you know what? Fuck you, asshole. I'm going to do the worst thing I can think of. And me and a couple of guy friends ended up having a threesome in his bed while he was out with all of his friends. Yeah. Made me feel a little bit better about him being a dick. Anyway, love you guys. Have a good one.
A victimless crime.
It reminds me of one of our sexual cowboys that was something with the priest, and
the
pastor's daughter. He ended up having sex in the church or something like that.
Mm-hmm.
Sexual revenge.
Sexual revenge. But it does, you know.
Listen, victimless. He cheated on you and these are your friends. And as long as it's consensual and safe, and it sounds like a victimless crime to me, you weren't in a relationship anymore.
There is sexual healing. And there is also
Stella's getting her
sexual
groove back.
Revenge.
I love it. I think that, you know, that's the least that you could do.
Yeah.
And you had yourself a fun time while you're getting revenge. Like, what is a better killing two birds with one stone?
That was a roller coaster, honestly.
I loved it.
Love this. Okay. And on to the next.
On to the next.
Here is the worst thing that I have, I think, ever done. I think this definitely tops it and haunts me to this day. So this happened, oh gosh, maybe like 15 years ago. I was young, I was silly, and I wanted to meet up with this boy, but the issue was I was babysitting. So, and again, a bunch of my friends were going out, they're like, Shannon, you have to come. Where they were going out was in the town, like the big city, and I was in the suburbs, so I'd take a train. So I was babysitting these kids and the mom wasn't home yet. So I was a competitive dancer and I called the mom or texted the mom and was like, hey, I'm so sorry, but I just got studio time to go in and be able to train and like practice for my dance competition coming up. Studio times are really rare and the only time I can get them is 10 a.m. So I can only babysit your kids till like 9:30. But I have someone else coming in to cover for me until you get home. So I had a friend of mine come in, take care of the kids because they're already gone to bed. They're fine. Come in, take care of the kids so that they were fine so that I could leave, grab my stuff, hop on the last train to get into the big city just so that I could hang out with this guy. And I feel so, so guilty about this. I don't have any contact with the family that I babysat with. Needless to say, they never called me back. Wonder why. And yeah, so that's the worst thing I've ever done and definitely carries with me today. And I sincerely apologize that I ever did, because if someone did that to me with my kids, I would, oof. Anyways, love you guys. Have a good one.
As long as your replacement isn't a pedophile, I think this is okay.
I mean, it's not okay. You it's agreed to do a job.
I'm sure the mom was pissed because it was
job.
Like, I don't know this person who's covering for you. I'm sure they were pissed.
Yes.
But like, I also, I don't know, when I was growing up, like I did shit like this when I had jobs I didn't care about, where it was like, I'll get fired over, I want to go see a guy. I'll get fired over it. I don't care.
Yeah.
It's kind of part of like the stakes being low.
Yeah. I mean, dealing with kids is a little bit higher. But yeah,
I don't think it's that bad.
I would have stayed as a rule follower.
Of course you would have stayed, Jared. I would have stayed too. That would have given me, I get too much anxiety of like something going wrong. I would have been like, I can't do it.
This is something I might do in a momentary lapse of judgment. Cause like, I like to believe I wouldn't do it, but I might. Cause I'm sort of, I tote that line sometimes in my Slytherin existence where I'll be like, oh, it's a loophole. I'm finding someone to cover.
Yeah.
I'm a loophole taker. But I don't break the rules, but I find a loophole to get there.
I love it.
Yeah,
I love it.
Me too.
Got to keep an eye on the kids, though, you know?
What?
Got to keep an eye on the kids.
Got to keep an eye on the kids.
Stick out.
Yeah, Mizugu's castle over here. What was it called?
Mizugu's Island.
Oh, Mizugu's Island, where Jared was was a counselor.
We should start Mizugu's castle.
It's like a haunted house.
Sorry.
Okay. Well, I think that completes our episode for today. So this was great. Let us know your favorite TV flubs of all time. And Lex, you can lead us off to the night and explain our little clip.
We are going to play one of our favorite TV flubs. It is, was it a Miss USA pageant or Miss Teen USA?
It was Miss Teen USA,
oh,
yeah.
God. You guys know this.
Know it.
When she was asked, God, what was the question? It was like...
the question was like a certain percentage of the people in the United States don't know where X is on a map or like don't have a map or something. I don't know. It's something to do with geography.
Honestly, she kind of nailed the wrong answer. She said it with such confidence that I was like, you are selling me on this perspective, even though it makes no sense.
And I obviously now know what type of person you are. You are the person that just keeps talking when you're nervous.
You are a female John Travolta owning the wrong name. He said.
I love it. I love it.
There are two versions of correct.
That's right.
And confident.
Oh, I love
that. It's not a lie if you believe it.
That's right. That's how we tie it in.
Bye, everyone.
Bye.
Okay. Recent polls have shown a fifth of Americans can't locate the U.S. on a world map. Why do you think this is?
I personally believe that U.S. Americans are unable to do so because some people out there in our nation don't have maps, and I believe that our education, like such as in South Africa and the Iraq, everywhere like such as, and I believe that they should, our education over here in the U.S. should help the U.S. Or should help South Africa and should help the Iraq and the Asian countries, so we will be able to build up our future for us.
Thank you very much, South Carolina.